Check this out. Welcome back. Hold on. Welcome back to Talking Schmidt. This is Schmitty. We got another episode of the podcast that is starting to come out on Saturday mornings, believe it or not. Today on the program, we have an amazing show for you because the day after International Women's Day, it just lined up this way. It was intentionally not intentional, but it still came out. We got Ruby Lilly here, kids. Ruby Lilly is on the program, and she's got a really interesting life story already. At a young age, she was thrown into an RV and traveled around the country at 11 years old, skating all kinds of places, moved out to the, well, if I keep going, you won't need to hear the interview. Anyway, Ruby's with us, really stoked on that. And at the end, our new segment, SMFM. Is not only unleashing its first ever video of the song that he will be dropping from our friends down in Mexico City, the band Cardiel the Band, but I have an exclusive interview with Sam and Miguel as well. So you'll want to stick around at the end. SMFM is hitting the streets hard. People are talking about it all over. It's really blowing up.
Fuck are they, dude? I need it.
Shane has been getting tons of submissions and emails. You can hit him up over at the SMFM Instagram, or if you want to email me at talkingschmidt@gmail.com, I'll zap them over to him. I do want to note that we appreciate all of you listeners. And if you have the time to hit the subscribe button and tell some people about the program. It's free and we do it for the love, but you know, we like to grow as well. So grow with us. That's what I'd say. Grow with us, huh? It's Friday night and I'm going to go see Sierra, not Sierra Fellers. That's the skateboarder, bro. It's Sierra Ferrell, the female country singer that's playing at the Warfield. So I gotta go, but enjoy the show.
Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard. Blood Wizard! Shop.bloodwizard.com.
Tickety tack.
Hey, it's Corey at Blue Plate, 3218 Mission Street. Come see us. Meatloaf, fried chicken, deviled eggs, Dollar Olympia beers. We're here every day of the week. We got a garden and we got smiles on our faces. Come let us make you happy.
This is Ruby Lilly and you're... Oh, wait. This is Ruby Lilly and you're listening to Talking Schmidt.
A little bit of intro.
Yes. This is the moment.
It's cool, like tonight is the night.
Provoking the stoke.
I guess we're dancing now.
Talking Schmidt, dude!
Bipolar as fuck, that guy.
I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmidt?
That was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my whole life.
Dude, we need a magazine.
I remember that.
What are Yuns doing?
Black skateboarding history is very important.
Holy shit.
Frisco. I can't.
What is happening?
Let's hear it for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory!
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
All right, guys, everybody got your headphones on or whatever you do out there in podcast world. Today we have Ruby Lilly on the show. She was just up at the MAG with Gregson and Tom Schar. They're filming a bunch of stuff. There's probably going to be a sick vert part coming out soon. I reached out to her. Pew, here she is. Ruby, how are you? Thanks for being on the show.
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. So have you been, you've been filming a bunch with Gregson?
Yes. We've been filming, getting out about like every other day or so, but just finally finished the part and... Yeah, just waiting for it to come out So that's going to be exciting. I'm super excited for this.
Nice. Yeah. It'll be on Thrasher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Let's go back to like early days. Where were you born and raised? Maryland, I heard?
Yeah. So I'm from Ocean City, Maryland originally, and then kind of traveled around with my family in an RV. We went to Canada, Arizona, Colorado, and then ended up in California.
Like you guys were living out of the RV for a while?
Yeah, we were just like road tripping for like 3 years.
Damn, was that so you could skate, or what was the purpose? To see things, or like it was you and your folks?
Yeah, it was me and my whole family. And yeah, like the end goal was to eventually get to California, because me and my, no, not for me. My brothers always wanted to go to California. Like that was their dream. And, you know, like love skating. And, you know, like it was never for me. It was always for my brothers. So that's what we came to California for.
And so you come from a big family, right? You have how many siblings?
I have 7 siblings.
Oh my God.
Damn. And where do you fit in the order?
I'm number 7.
Oh, wow. So you have 6 older brothers and sisters?
No, there's 8 in the family, and I'm number 7. I have a younger sister.
Okay.
So there's 5 girls and 3 boys.
Oh, wow. 8 of you plus mom and dad, 10 of you in an RV?
No. The 4, oh, no, that would be so God. That would be a whole different podcast.
I was gonna say that's a reality show waiting to happen.
No. It was the four oldest are all moved out doing their own thing. They're all on the East Coast. And so then the bottom 4, it was me, my sister, and then 2 brothers, and then mom and dad. So it's still a lot, but
yeah. So did you get into skateboarding through like one of your older siblings was into it and you picked it up that way? Or like, how'd you like start getting into it?
Yeah, like I always did what my older brothers did. Like they did ballroom dancing. And so then I did that and competed competitively, and I did ballet. And then I just like really looked up to them, and I don't know, like a little sister would. And so they started skating, and then I wanted to try it. And then I did. And I was like, I'm over this. Like I tried to roll down a ramp and like slammed, and I was like, I don't like this. And then there's no girls on the East Coast that skate. There's like 3 girls or 2 girls. So then I found out when I was doing ballet that one of the girls in ballet class skated. And then that's like what fired me up to skate again.
Oh, cool.
And then that's what like really got me into it, you know, just seeing other girls.
What was your local, like, where'd you learn how to like do ramp tricks and stuff? Or what ramp or park were you skating in the early stages?
Ocean Bowl. I don't know if you know that park, but that's like Roman and Cedric grew up skating that park.
Yeah.
And they were like kind of on their tail end of leaving the East Coast. And so we kind of like caught a glimpse of skating with them before they like fully moved to the West Coast. So it's kind of crazy. The timing is insane.
Yeah. I'm friends with them and their mom too. She's actually been on the podcast. Like I got a little relationship with them. They're cool. Yeah.
And Lisa. Oh my God.
She's like in a punk band or something.
Yeah. They have like their own band. Oh my God. They're so sick. My mom's name is Lisa too. Oh. And so they're like such good friends, love each other. And yeah, they're the best.
Did ballet and dance and that stuff, did that help with your balance and stuff? Like, do you think that that was good for skateboarding?
Honestly, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
I mean, a lot of times people, when they're young, they do gymnastics and stuff, and then they're able to contort and do different things. Like when skating comes, it's like they got the balance all straight and stuff being centered. And ballroom dancing as a youngster, though, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's kind of rare.
That's like, kind of old-timey, it seems like.
Yeah. I did that when I was like maybe like 10 or 11 with my brother. I was like my partner. It's definitely helps more like doing ballet or gymnastics than not doing that and just learning to skate. you know, I think it does help for sure.
Do you still dabble in it? Do you still have moves and all that?
No.
No, you're over it.
Yeah, I was like younger and I like came back from this like ballroom dancing contest. I think I was like 10 or 11 and I like won the contest or something. And I like came back and I like had like a, temper tantrum. I was like crying to my mom. Like, I don't want to dance anymore. I just want to skate. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. She was pissed. She was super pissed. But I don't know. It felt good to do what I wanted to, honestly. Like,
okay.
I made my mind up. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
That's like my favorite part of life.
So tell me about the road trip. What are some of the like funnest spots you went to? And like, did you have any like crazy moments on the trip that like stick out?
Oh my God. Yes. Oh my gosh. If I could remember everything though, it would be like so good. But I do remember a little. The sickest place we went to was the Big O.
Oh. And
yes, in Montreal, I think, or Quebec. No, Montreal, I think. Yeah, my brothers killed that spot, and I was like 11 or something, and I was intimidated by all like the good skaters. I think I like dropped in. And then also so our RV is the exact same one as the Volcom's bus. So many times we pull up to a park and like people are like, oh my God, it's the Volcom team. We're like, no, it's not. It's just like a big family. It's so funny. When we went to FDR, yeah, like people were like crowding around the van, like, oh my God, it's the Volcom like bus. And we're just like, no. And then I remember I was like kind of skating a little bit around. I was like 11, but I just really wasn't like into it that much yet, or like I would just cruise. And this guy was like trying to buy one of my teeth. That was a gnarly memory. He was like, I don't know, trying to buy a tooth. And then he was like, and then I was like, no way, you can't do that. And then he's like, yeah, like you're good. You know, your like value or something. And I was just like, he's like, I'm trying to teach you a lesson or something. He was crazy, but met so many crazy people like that. But trying to buy like an 11-year-old's tooth. I can never forget that. I don't know.
It's interesting when you go through different areas, you definitely see different style of people. And like, you're like, yeah. Oh, we're here. This is the, oh, okay. Like, well, as you're skating, you start from Maryland and you're headed to California. Like, how is your progression? Since you were skating every day and traveling to all these new things, I know for myself, I get super excited when I get to a place that I've never skated before. It for some reason just makes me want to skate more than like something I skate all the time. So if that's like, that's why people love going on trips, because every day you're at a new place and you're just like, no way, look at this, and trying to figure shit out. But I think for yourself at a young age, that must have helped your abilities, and like you're probably learning tricks along the way and stuff maybe, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think you take a little bit everywhere from different places and people and at a young age. So I think that's really good. It like helped me maybe be more well-rounded or maybe skate more like gnarlier things like pools or stuff. Cause I mean, one of like the first things I skated was like the nude bowl or something when I was like little, you know, we also took a trip there. Oh. So it's like, cause my brothers were at such a higher level that it's like, they wanted to skate all this gnarly stuff. And then I was like still learning. So I just kind of started skating, you know, started learning from skating, stuff like that. But I remember like, yeah, I was like 11 or something. And I got invited to like the girls combi. And I was like, you know, it's like skateboarding's fun, whatever. You just cruise around, kick turns, whatever. It's fun. Like, who cares? But it was like when I went there and saw like the girls doing these tricks, I was like, I'm either going to get really good or I'm going to stop doing this. Like, it just pushed me so much. I don't think I ever would have progressed so fast and been so motivated if I was like still on the East Coast with like maybe two other girls. But just really coming to the West Coast, just really, really motivating me, seeing how high the level was. It's not like anywhere else. It's crazy. But it can be really intimidating. So it's like, I don't know. You just got to like find out, decide what you want to do. You know, like if this is what you really want, like everyone's so good, then you have to like go get it. No one's going to like do it for you. So
absolutely. Do you remember who won that combi contest?
It was 2018.
Was it the one puppy one?
Excuse me?
It was 2018, so it had to be Nicole. I think it was Nicole.
Oh, okay. So I think I filmed that one.
Oh, really? Oh,
my God. I filmed a few of them. I know I filmed the one Poppy one, and I think I filmed the one Nicole one, too. Yeah.
That's yeah. So sick. Oh, my gosh.
So who were you looking up to besides your siblings? Like, what people that are in the mag, or, like, what girls were you like, oh, my God, there's Lizzie Armano or whatever? Like,
for sure, Lizzie. For sure.
Really?
100%. I think I, like, one time when I was younger, I think I, like, dyed my hair blue. I don't know if that's embarrassing, but that just is telling you how much I looked up to her. So they like dyed the bottoms of my hair, like the color she had. And then also I would watch anti-hero videos with my brothers when I was really little. They were like super into that. I mean, my brothers have like a really good eye for skating. And so they kind of like led me in the right way.
Who do you think their influences are? They're into the anti-hero crew, like Trujillo, Grant Taylor, those kind of guys?
Yeah, Grant Taylor was like such a big one for them. I don't know who they are now. Now I think they're just like maybe so desensitized to good skating because they've just been living out here for so long. Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if they have one anymore.
Where did you guys end up settling when you got to California? Did you like come in and go straight to a certain area and stick there, or did you guys kind of like check different areas out and try to feel like where you wanted to be stationed?
We checked different areas out. It was like the first place we came in California was Orange County because of the girls combi. We came from Arizona SkaterCon, and then that's when I found out I got invited at the SkaterCon, and then we drove the RV to Orange County and we're there. And then after that contest, we went down to Oceanside and we stayed there for like a little while. And then we went back, we explored like Venice and stuff. We stayed there for a while, but I do not know how we stayed there so long because I can like barely be there for one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I think Oceanside is where we really fell in love with.
Okay, so do you like those parks down there, like Poods Park and the Oceanside Park?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, yeah, those are good spots. I like North County down there. That's where I like to hang out when I go down there, like in between San Diego and Dana Point or whatever. Are your brothers, is any of them sponsored?
No, they're just like super core. They like don't want sponsors. I don't even know how to explain it. They're on like their own thing now, honestly.
Uh-huh. Well, so when do you meet Mike Sinclair? How does this all come into a play? Did you go to Phoenix Am or anything, like a contest that he was at?
Oh, it was X Games. It was X Games. He invited me. I got invited to X Games. He does the invites. It was the one. So first he invited me to the X Games Japan one, and then where I really got to like talk to him in person and interact was at Vista, the X Games after. That was at TF. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what happened after that. Maybe it was, oh yeah, I was on Madness at the time. And
oh, okay. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of sponsors before Foundation. And
oh, so okay, tell me about that. What was like your first sponsor and how did it come about?
My
I didn't
first,
know you were on Madness.
I know. It was really quick because of the dwindling. But yeah, I rode for this company called Aces and Eights. It was kind of like super hesh punk rock, maybe. I don't know. It was kind of the guy sponsored my brothers and then like started giving me boards. And then I don't know what happened. I think his company went down. Maybe. I don't know. Mm. And then after that, what did I ride for? I didn't ride for anything for a while. And then it was maybe, I think H Street was next. And I rode for H Street. The funny story. Okay. This is a really funny story.
Yeah.
But I was combi one day and I was like skating with my foot, maybe like really far in the nose or something. I was like trying a lip trick, but I was like putting it really far in the nose, way before it was hitting the wall. And Tony came up to me and kind of like, it was kind of like rude or whatever. It's funny. Now I can laugh about it now. But at first I was like, what the fuck is this guy saying? I was like 11, but he's like, you might want to like put your foot back. It's like super far in the nose. And I took it really personal and got like really pissed. But then his advice worked and I got the trick. So I was like, well, I'm not upset. And so like that day I was like, okay, that guy definitely hates me. And then I see him again at TF and I like had gotten better at skating. And then he was like, oh, he was not as mean. And he was like, oh, like I have a board company and I didn't know that. And he's like, would you want to try some boards? And I was like, yeah, like I'm down. And then I rode for H Street for like maybe 2-3 years. Oh. And then after that, I think I quit on my birthday. That's random. And then
why?
I felt like it was like time. I felt like I maybe didn't fit it so well. And yeah, I just felt like it was like the right time. Mm-hmm. And after that, oh yeah, then I like really liked the Madness graphics, how they were different and like the glitter and the slick and everything.
Yeah.
And then at this like, what was it? Like a Prince giving, someone like gave me like a free Madness deck. And then I wrote it and then I really liked Madness, but it was super quick. I wrote for them really quick. Like when I officially got on the team and had that Thrasher ad on like the back cover, basically a few months after that, like it kind of, when the little thing happened. So it kind of sucked. It was really quick, but it was really fun. And Bill was awesome. And then,
yeah, those guys, I love those guys.
Yeah, they're super awesome. And then after that, yeah, I was writing blanks for a while. And then I got offered by Creature and then Foundation at like the same time. That was like, when I think about it now, it was like really stressful. Like it was stressful in the moment because they asked at the same time. And a lot of my friends rode for Foundation, like Jesse and Liam, and I really liked the team. And I also really liked the Creature guys. So that was a hard decision. And I picked Foundation.
How long was that? How long ago was that that you got on Foundation?
I think I got on it in maybe March.
Okay. So coming up on a year.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And was that Japan contest? Was that your first X Games?
Yes, in 2022.
Was that your first time out of the country?
Yes.
Wow, what an experience, huh? Were you scared, nervous, just fully excited and stoked? Like, what was your vibe?
I was really nervous because it was like the COVID, it was really strict over there.
Oh.
And I was worried that we were going to get stuck. But then after going there and seeing how awesome Japan is, it's like my favorite place. It would have honestly not been that bad if I got stuck there.
Yeah. Did you pay any attention to the Olympics when they were over there?
Like watching it live. I'm like, yeah, I did. I watched it live.
It seemed so crazy, right? With like just no spectators and just like a ghost town. And those people kind of, they couldn't even intermix with, like skaters couldn't mix with the BMXers. It was very secluded. It seemed crazy. Sinclair said to ask you about street skating. What are your big street guns?
Oh my God. He just knows the perfect questions to ask. I am basically terrible at street. I will commit, though. If you tell me to try it, I'll probably knee slide on the ledge. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's just like my street talent is not there, but maybe I have the commitment. I guess that's the start.
Do you got a kickflip?
Yeah, I can kickflip.
Okay.
Okay, the goal this year is a heel flip. I do not know how you do that. Like, sometimes when I like, flick it, I like almost popsicle and I actually have, so I'm kind of scared of that one.
You'll get it. If you could do a kickflip, a heel flip's almost the same thing, just opposite. It's just where you put your foot, you know?
How the hell do you know?
Can you heel flip?
Yeah.
Kind of cringe.
Oh my gosh. You have to teach me. I don't know like where to put, because some people are like, oh, like hang your hang your heel really far off. And then people are like, don't hang it off. So I'm just like, I guess I got to just do what works for me. Maybe.
Yeah, you got to just practice ollieing and doing the front foot motion to see where your foot wants to be for you for the flick.
Yeah, you got to like do the ollie and flick.
Maybe go to a skate park and do it like off a, like go up a thing, you know, so you can get more speed and air time and kind of feeling it. Also, people do the cheater where they put their hands on the bars and do it and like jump and hold themselves and figure it out that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's definitely cheating.
Well, just to learn it, obviously. Yeah. Where are you skating down there? What, like, obviously there's so much to skate down there. What are some of your favorite places? Like where, if you could skate every day at one spot, where would it be down there?
Right now, because it's kind of been raining, and then I have like that Dubai World Skate coming up, and there's like a jump box. I've been skating TF, but definitely prefer to not be at that place.
Is it like everybody goes down there? Is it like full on practice for contest, competitive vibes? Are people not smiling and stuff? Like, is it like,
yeah? It's like, no, it's like, yeah, it's very training vibes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it's like, I don't want to have training vibes all the time. Like when I go to a world skate, like that's what I'm expecting, but it's like, I don't want every day to be a training day.
Yeah, for sure. No, it needs to be fun.
Exactly. And skate whatever I want, whatever I'm feeling. But if I could skate somewhere every day or a bowl every day, it would have to be Garvanza in LA.
Oh, that's a good one.
I love that bowl so much.
That bowl is cool. Yeah, yeah. What do you like better, Washington Street or Pedro?
That's hard. Both. I can't choose. They're both so good. So good.
Yeah, okay. So how did that Japan contest go? How did that whole trip go once you got there and stuff? Like, did you place?
No, not my first X Games. I didn't place. But the second time I went to Japan, I placed. That was my first time in X Games. And yeah, the first time was, I was like super, super, super nervous, like really nervous, like contest nerves, but like probably the most nervous I've been for a contest, because it's my first X Games. It's like on television, everyone's watching, the stadiums are big.
Yeah.
You get practice, the park is wet, the concrete isn't even dry, it's like the best skater girls in the world. So I was super nervous, and I honestly didn't need to be that nervous. So that's definitely what I learned from that, but it was really, really good.
Did you meet Kokona on that trip?
Yeah, that's where I became like real, like better, really good friends with her. I'd always like maybe just like say like hi or whatever, but that's like when we like, I guess, yeah, officially, like, met.
She's so good, right? Like, those girls are amazing. When I saw Kokona for the first time at the Combi, I was like, whoa. Like, she was doing some, like, nose grinds around corners. And
so gnarly. Insane.
Yeah. Then talk to me a little bit about the exposure.
The one that just happened?
Yeah.
And now, another first impression from Amelia Brodka.
My first impression of Ruby Lilly is perfect nose grind. I got to skate with her when she was younger, and from day one, she's been one of my favorite people to skate with because she brings the hype, she gets you psyched to land your tricks, and she's always got your back, committing to all kinds of crazy things. So, love Ruby Lilly, best attitude, and incredible skateboarder.
Talk to me a little bit about what you think exposure is. Like how would you explain it to someone that doesn't know? It's an annual event.
Yeah, I would say, so exposure, it is what its name is. Like it's literally represents, like it really put me on the map. Like the first time that I podiumed in both events, or like won the vert and then did good in the bowl, like it really just puts you on the map and sets you up to get like sponsors. And I would say that it's like it's like one of the most fun contests, like not stressful, super fun. You get like lots of practice. Everyone's encouraging each other. Like, it's just very like good energy and good vibes and the best people. And it, everyone just like literally goes so, or everyone just goes so insane watching the girls skate. Like the people surrounding the bowl, there's like so many people, you can barely even walk like by the coping. It's insane. And it's so sick to see that like so many people come out for an all girls event. Like, it's super, super awesome.
Rad. Yeah, I haven't made it down to one of those yet, and I keep saying I'm gonna make the next one. I'm gonna make the next one. You've never been to one? No, I need to.
That's embarrassing to say, honestly.
It is embarrassing to say. You're right, because I mean, I'm a big supporter of girl skateboarding. Like, I used to go to a lot of the events to film and edit for Thrasher. Those in the early days, I filmed the whole part with Lizzie, like that was on the Thrasher site.
I can't even tell you how many times I've watched it. Probably like 200. Seriously.
I think Lizzie was so fun to work with, but Grosso was around, and I was talking to him as I was making the part, and he's like, you have to try to get Babies on Fire. You have to get that song. And I was like, dude, that's going to be expensive. And then I threw it out there, and somehow we got it. And then it was just, dude, oh
my God, that song. It just, like, the song is what makes the part. And that song is so, so good.
Yeah. And just went really well with her skating. And we had so much fun. Like, I met her and Alicia a long time ago. There used to be an event here called the Chili Bowl at Potrero, and yes! they would come up for that.
Oh my God, that clip of them doing the under over. Oh my God, that clip is so funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so no, you're right. I'm a little embarrassed about not being at Exposure, and yeah, I keep promising her that I'm gonna come down for it too, and I just, it's never, I don't know, I need an alarm clock to be like,
yeah, for sure, but it's awesome.
So you got, what did you do? You got third for the bowl, and then you won the vert, is that right?
That was not the last, that was not the last one, that was the one in 2022.
Oh, that was the year before. And so that's kind of what you're saying, is that gave you, that podium experience gave you Exposure, and then people, is that kind of when Foundation and Creature hit you up and stuff?
What was I riding for? Oh yeah, so I remember it. So in 2022, was I riding for Madness?
Must have been.
I think I was. Yeah, so I was riding for Madness, and yeah, I think Mike was like watching from like the top, the street over. And then he like texted me or whatever, like, congrats on third. And so I just like, yeah, like it just did build more of a relationship with sponsors and everything, really helped put me on the map. Yeah. After like Exposure, that's when Dwindle kind of went down, and then Mike was keeping in contact. And then did we meet? Oh my God, this story is so funny. When I went to watch the Foundation Whippersnappers video, I got sent from this like random Instagram, or this random like company, these like necklaces with these pendants of these bees on it. And it was like three of them to like give for your best friends or whatever. And I given one to my friend in New York. And then I had one left, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to give it to Mike. Oh my God. And like, cause I was with Bryce. And so of course Bryce is like encouraging me to do it. She's like, oh my God, Mike Sinclair, she's going to love it. It's just perfect. Which I don't think it was perfect, but that's why it was so perfect.
That's another one of my dreams, to learn about dreams.
I don't know how I saw him. There was like so many people. There had like 1,000. It was like insane. There were so many people. And yeah, I like asked a few people, like, where's Mike? And they're like, oh, over here. And I found him. And then I was like, I have this necklace for you. and then I think he said something like, or maybe I said something, but he's like, now you have to ride for Foundation or something.
Oh.
He still has the necklace, and I don't. Don't tell him that. Mine broke. It's gone. I have no idea where it went.
Give me your first impression of Bryce. Like, what was it like when you first met her? Like, what was the vibe, and like, what were you thinking?
Thinking about thinking is really hard.
Maybe the girls combi. Yeah, like the girls combi. Honestly, she's definitely more Brycey now. She's definitely more like outgoing, crazy, butterfly, rainbow, umbrella, Mary Poppins. But when I met her, she was definitely like very quirky and different, and like one of the nicest girls that I met at the combi. You know, like saying like, "Hi, I'm Bryce. So nice to meet you." And then was just like probably like the nicest person that I met when I first met in California. Super down to earth and super like encouraging, because I was like not good at skating and really intimidated, and just like super encouraging, and that like really made me feel good and more confident. So that was crazy. Like, now Bryce is like my best friend.
It's sort of like the stampede of elephants. Like, they don't know they're making such a big impact.
Yeah, now we FaceTime, like, well, she actually answers, but like every night, and she like literally lives in Encinitas, so we're like 20 minutes away, and we're like FaceTiming all the time. So
yeah. Well, tell her I said hi. She's a friend, and I haven't talked to her in a while, but we did a podcast together, and we wrote a little song, and she was singing on her guitar. It was so fun.
Oh my God. Yeah. I think it just like our friendship works really good, because we're like total opposites. And one time we're at this dinner, and she's like, "Oh, should I," like thinking or hoping that I would say yes. She's like, "Oh shoot, I think I should play this ukulele song." And I was like, "Please don't, like, this is the wrong time." Like, please don't. And there's been times we're like in this van at like 4 a.m. with like a bunch of skaters from USA, and she's like, "I really want to play a ukulele song." And I'm like, "No, Bryce, like, please don't."
Let's save that for later. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like just gonna explode if you start playing ukulele at 4 a.m.
What were you more excited, meeting Tony Hawk or meeting Avril Lavigne?
That's so hard. That is super, super hard. I'd have to say both. Yeah, for sure. Because they're like both celebrities and both really amazing people. So I'd have to say both.
Yeah, Tony's done so much and given so much for skateboarding. So as a skateboarder, he's the icon. But tell me about meeting Avril Lavigne. Was that at X Games or something? Like, she was back behind the ramp or something?
We were at this Vert demo in Las Vegas. It was the When We Were Young Fest. Yeah, like the demo was starting, or it was like in the middle. It was kind of like ending. And I heard someone say like, there's Avril. And I was like, what? And like, see her, she's like walking in, and she was like, then Tony was like, "Oh, like, this is one of our skater girls, Ruby Lily," and like introduced me to her. And then it was so insane. She was like, I think she was like super hammered though, and was like trying to like walk up the ladder, and like was almost falling back. And like, she's like, "I know, I want to go on the vert ramp." And they're like, no, like, not now, they're skating. And it was super funny. But she was so nice. And then she like, I tagged her in that post, and she commented, and then she like followed me back, and then she like replied to my story like, "You're a sick skater girl," or something. No,
okay. Have you tried to hit her up with a DM?
Yeah, and she like actually like answers. Like, then we kept the DM going. And then one of my friends is like, "You should like say if she has a music video that like you're down." Like,
yeah.
I'll let her know that though next time for sure.
Oh, how cool. Man, I mean, how old are you right now?
17. I just turned.
Wow. So when did you leave Maryland? When you were, did you say 13?
11.
11. Damn. So the last 6 years has just been a whirlwind of epicness.
Yeah. It's so unreal, because I never ever thought this would happen. Like, we came out to the West Coast for my brother's, like, I wasn't even in the question. It was just like, yeah, we're here for my brothers. They're going to skate all the skate parks, meet people. And then it was like, people ended up being like more hyped on me than my brothers. I think they got like maybe jealous or kind of pissed. My brother said, well, I was like going to this girls event in LA, and he was like, You know what? This is so annoying. There's so many more girl events in California than guy events. Like, where's the guys' day at the barracks?
The guys' day at the barracks is every day.
Exactly.
Well, that's funny. Man, your parents must be super cool, though. Like, you got served up a nice dish right there.
It's super, super insane. I'm super grateful, and I just really like love skating and the community and everything. So, okay. But my mom, she roller skates, and she like drops in the Prince Bowl, and she does handstands and stuff. And
oh, damn!
Yeah, she like rips at roller skating, and yeah, she's like almost 60. So I don't know how she does it.
Crazy. Wow. Okay.
My dad used to build custom like Harleys and stuff, and so yeah.
You guys got the right background. Roller skate mom, Harley dad. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, tell me about this NorCal trip. Like, was that your kind of first, that was your first time to the MAG for sure. Have you been to San Francisco before?
Yes, that was my second time. And I love SF, but that was my first time to Thrasher. And first time we went to NHS on the way back.
Oh, cool.
A lot of culture in that NHS name.
The Berkeley ramp, you skate, and then did you get rained out for the other stuff, or did you skate anywhere besides Berkeley?
Potrero.
What did you think?
That was my second time skating there, but the first time I went, the wind was so gnarly. It was like blowing off my hat, and like we didn't even like really skate. So that bowl was so good. That's definitely one of my favorite bowls. It's so good. The defense like so perfect for airs and has like so much vert. It's so good.
Yeah, Lizzie's favorite is one. That's one of her favorite too. She loves Petro. She would. That's what was cool. She always wanted to come up here, like because she wanted to skate that. So, yeah, we were lucky with that. And then we have like this bowl. Did you guys go to that bowl?
Yes, we did.
Did you skate that?
Yes, it's so sick. It's built so good. The transition is so, I was like expecting it to be like really, really gnarly, like kind of unskatable, but it was really, really good.
Okay, let's talk about this. Tom Schar is just, somebody put something in his Wheaties, right? Because these Instagram clips are bananas. I'm like, dude, what's your video part going to be like if that's on Instagram? He's like, him and Jimmy are the best for me. Like,
the best. Best. He's so nice too. And he's such a good person. So just seeing like how amazing he is on and off the board just like really makes you love him even more. It's so, so sick. But he absolutely killed it so hard, as we all would expect.
What's like one of the coolest things that you've been there? Like you've seen somebody do on a skateboard and you were there, like it wasn't in video. You were actually there and you saw it go down.
Oh my God. That's so hard. Maybe Tom on that trip, probably. We like set up this bench. And so instead of having like this, we had it like that.
At Berkeley?
Yeah, so, so gnarly. It was so insane. Like, I was kind of, like holding, like kind of tense, like, watching, like, this, like, he could really, really eat shit on this really hard. And I do not want, like, he handled it so good, though. He did, like, front disaster on it in, like, 10 minutes. He did, like, 3 in a row or something.
So gnarly. Insane. That recent clip he just put on Instagram where he like tails drops in off some high thing and then he does like alley-oop Cavalario back disaster over the channel.
Over that huge channel.
So sick too, like no sketch, just like bam, it like perfect textbook. I was like, Tom's always been good, but it seems like he's got a little extra fire right now. Like he's doing it.
And like how he's like killing the world skate events too, like how he's balancing both is insane. I don't know how like vert skaters can do that. That's so gnarly.
Yeah, I'm happy for him. So tell me about this video. Like what can we expect? Are you having your own video part or is it like a vert video with like a bunch of different riders? I'm not clear on what's going on.
I have like my own video part coming out. It's just a Thrasher part and it's just me and it should be coming out in like, can expect very, very soon. That's all I know. And yeah, and then it's separate. Then there's like the monster vert video, and that's going to take like a year. Like, there's going to be so many other skaters involved in that too. So
who are some of them? You and Tom are a monster. Who else is who else do we got on the squad?
Lizzie, Coconut. Who else is the guy? Oh, there's Rune. Yeah, we already said Tom. What other vert skaters? Elliot.
Oh, okay.
Hawk met us at the Vert Jungle as well. So that was so sick.
Is the whole premise going to be only vert ramps, like no vert bowls or anything? It's just going to be all ramp or what?
Oh, yeah. It's just all, it's all vert ramps. Just everywhere, like going to Florida and maybe Texas, just all vert ramps. Just going and searching for vert.
And so you'll get to travel a bit, huh? Like maybe, is Kokona, like she's over here a lot, right? I've seen her. And is she have a place over here now or something?
I don't think so, no.
She just visits.
Yeah, because of like Welcome Skateboards and her sponsors and to film, you know, because everything is out here, so.
Mm. Wow, well, that'll be cool. So you'll probably be on the Thrasher site like next week?
I mean, the part was supposed to come out like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was supposed to come out like kind of the beginning of January, but it kind of got pushed back because of a few things.
Mm.
Yeah. I can't say exactly because I don't know, but I just know that it's like it could be any day now. They're releasing the trip. I just don't know.
All right. Well, I'm hyped. This is good timing. Just got a couple more before you go. Like when you're on the road trip, what? If you pull over, if you're driving up here, you're on Highway 5 and you go to a gas station and you're hungry, what do you buy out of there? Like you can only get little snacks.
That's so hard.
Are you like candy? Are you chips? Are you like sunflower seeds, gum? Like what's your go-to?
It depends what it is. If it's pre-skate, then it's like it's gum or like water or sparkling water. And then if it's after, it's like randomly like Reese's or some chips maybe that are like flaming hot or like Doritos or something. It depends what I'm feeling, but yeah, pre-skate I try not to have too much junk food. I know it's on a trip, but like after, if I get a trick that I'm super hyped on, I'm eating so much junk food after, like everything, chips, Hi-Chew, Reese's, gummy bears. No, terrible food.
If you're going somewhere, let's say you're going to Berkeley and you want to do like two tricks in your mind, is there a difference between going away from there with the tricks you wanted you landed versus you didn't get them that day? Like, are you the same person or are you a very different person?
I'm pissed. I really hate giving up. I like, that's one of my weaknesses is I like will like not stop trying. Yeah, like I will not stop. Like okay. I will stay in the dark. Like I will want you to turn your camera.
You gotta get it.
Yeah. But it's like, it does cross the line sometimes where like the filmers are like actually pissed. Like, can she please stop? Like Josh one time, we were at Burnside and I was trying this front nose grind off this hip and he was like, I'm going to pick you up and like put you in the car because I was going to miss my flight. And I was like,
oh, shit.
He's like looking at all the guys. He's like, I don't know what to do. She won't leave. Like, I can't. So, I mean, he was like, but then I got it. And then it's like, then the world's fine. But maybe if I don't get it, maybe the world isn't okay.
Oh.
I don't know. It depends. Like today I was like skating for like 5 hours and I was like trying to, you know, just couldn't get this trick. And then I kind of like messed up all the plans. We were supposed to go to this vert ramp, but then I wouldn't stop trying the trick.
Possessed to skate.
Yeah. It's like, it's not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing. It just depends. Crosses the line. If you have self-control and you can like battle and then stop before you like are defeated and tired.
So what are your thoughts on the Olympics? Are you trying to do that route or are you not into it or like what's your vibe there?
I think while I've like made it this far and this good in the rankings and I'm like on the team, it's like why stop now? Like why just like
Oh, you're on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that's later this year? When are the Olympics? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they're in like June or July, I think.
Of this year.
Yeah, so it's kind of...
Oh, shit. Oh, where?
Paris.
Oh, nice. See, for me...
Even in like the Olympics.
So no, funny. I'm so not into it. But for me, contests are only about like... If you get to go to Paris and see all these people that you never get to see except for a contest, that to me is like you got first, second, or third. In 2 years, no one's going to remember that, but you're going to remember the times you had with your friends. You're going to see maybe Marc Genoux or whoever the French, you know, but you know, like you're going to see these people and have these experiences. So, well, that's cool. I didn't know you're on the team. So, who's the team?
I'm on like the national team right now. So it's not the Olympic team. It's different. It's like the one that changes. Or the Olympic team will be announced in like June, like literally right before the Olympics.
Oh, God. See, that's so stressful.
Tell me about it. I mean, every day, like I feel this like sometimes pressure, like, oh, I need to like go train. But then I'm like, but I don't need to, like, that's just like me feeling like I have to. So then I guess my type of training is like, go to a pool and try to do as many tricks in 30, like adapt as quick as you can. You know, it's like, and if you can do it in a pool, you can like do it anywhere. So I guess it's like the best training.
See, it's hard because the Olympics is probably different. But for me, when I go to a contest, I want to see like Ronnie Sandoval do the gnarliest thing. And I don't care about like Jagger Eaton stayed on his board the whole contest and just did his tricks. But obviously for the Olympics, that's the approach to take because you're trying to get on the podium. Whereas the other contests seem a little bit more like if you do the gnarliest thing, people are going to remember that, you know, like Tony Hawk did the 900, but he did not win that contest.
Or like the people who are like hanging on, you know, it's like,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, they did a kickflip 5, but they literally just survived death. And I'm never going to forget that when they literally hung up their feet like this, that, whatever, you know, it's like, and they just stayed on. It's like, everyone's going to remember that, you know?
So how many girls make the team? Four?
Three.
Three. And who's your competition? Is Zoyner still doing it?
No.
She's done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jordan?
Jordan Barrett?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's doing them.
Okay.
But the rankings right now are Minna, Bryce, and then me.
Minna's in first?
Yeah.
And Bryce is in second?
Yeah.
It's sort of like the stampede of elephants. Like, they don't know they're making such a big impact.
Wow. That's cool. Minna's from up here. She used to have this huge bowl in a warehouse up like by Santa Rosa. Yeah.
Remember that.
Yeah, so that's neat. We went up there once towards the end of it, like I think it's gone now, but okay, well, interesting. Well, I'm wishing you luck. I got your back.
Thank you. The practices are gnar.
I bet. Let's end with the toughest question of the day. Four people. I don't know if you on your trip you went to Mount Rushmore. But it's this mountain that has four presidents' heads on it.
Oh, hell no. I did not know this.
No. It's a spot. But what I want to ask you is, if it was female skateboarding, who would the four heads be? Like, who are the four icons of female skateboarding?
Konnichiwa.
This is the toughest question because
That's what I said.
It is because I feel like for me, because I'm younger, it's like the girls are going to be younger and they're
from your perspective though. We understand that.
So four,
mm-hmm.
I should say Bobby, Lizzie. Oh my God. That's so hard. Alicia. Oh my God. The last one is going to be so hard. This is the hardest question because it could probably change after this podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's it, kids. Battery dead. Show over. We got three of the four. Maybe she'll email them in. Let's see. Do, 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 do. Let's call a friend.
And now, another first impression from Lisa Pabich.
Ruby. First of all, I love her name.
Ruby is from Ocean City, and I actually met the family probably sometime in 2018, I believe, around St. Patrick's Day at Van Skate Park. It was a day that I'll never forget. Her family knew of us, and we were from the same town, but we had never met, and we actually met when we were both in California. And we have a very special bond. Ruby is such a sweet girl. She's so happy, so appreciative, and she's just a light. I remember hanging out with her and her mom. We would meet in Dana Point, and we would meet for coffee, and we would just jump out of the car and run and hug each other, and I love them so much, and I'm so excited for her and to watch her progress, and it's just so exciting. It's so insane, and I'm so happy for her. And she actually joined us on a trip to the Vans Park series in Salt Lake City, Utah. And her, the kids were on the park series, and we were all going to Salt Lake. And Ruby actually won a Vans family trip to the park series in Salt Lake, like all expense paid trip. So we all went, and we were so excited. I think we hung out every second of every minute of that entire trip. She was so excited to go, and we drank lots of coffee and ate lots of pastries and just had the best time. She's very special to our family, and I just know that she's reaching for the stars. And I know that that she's excited to skate, and I know that it's something that these kids are like born with. And Ruby actually lived with us for a little while in our house in Huntington, and that was really special. And her and her family have come a long way, just like our family. I hope that Ruby has a fun time being on your show. So I think that she's awesome. I love her, and I can't wait to see her expression when she hears my voice.
My phone died. I'm really sorry. Oh my God.
I didn't mean to scare you off with that question. I didn't know it was going to be so difficult to get the fourth one. Wow.
Just hang up.
I got to go.
I think I had time to think about it. Mm. I'd have to either say mommy or coconut.
Hell yeah.
Okay, we're going to put a fifth head on that monster this year. So it's going to be mommy and Kokona. So is Lizzie, yeah. Alicia,
Fabi,
mommy. Out of those people, all of them have been on my podcast except for Kokona.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, that's so sick. Yeah. That's so cool.
So maybe I can make Talkin' Schmidt Mount Rushmore shirts with the girls' heads in there and be like, all been on here. Does Kokona speak good English?
Not really, no.
Okay.
But it would be really sick if she could. I can like speak like a little bit of Japanese with her, so it kind of works.
Oh, wow.
But like very little though. I get by. But she can speak a little bit of English too, so it works.
Okay. Well, when she gets her English game going, she's welcome on any time. I would love it. But
oh my God.
Yeah,
it'd course.
Be fun. Yeah.
Best.
Okay. When you go to Thrasher for the first time, you go into the warehouse and they give you carte blanche, anything you want. What's the first t-shirt you get?
The one that I got or I would get?
That you would get. Is the neck face go demon or go home? Is that the one? Did you get that?
Yep. I also, I don't know what the first one was because I grabbed so many things.
Huh.
But I can't even remember what the first one was, but I do remember one that I was really hyped on was the Why Can't My Boyfriend Skate one. That one is so
That's
sick.
Classic for sure.
Yes.
Well, Ruby, thank your parents for me. You're an awesome girl. And thank you for coming on the show and taking the time. I really appreciate it. And it's good to get to know you. And Gregson is a great dude, so you're in good hands with this video. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see what comes out. And skating with that caliber of people, like Lizzie, Coconut, Char, that's enough already right there. I mean, there's tons more, but like, it's going to be cool, and it'll be a good experience for you to be a part of that. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
It spread the word. The girls are a little timid. I've invited some girls that don't, like, they're nervous. I mean, Bryce, no problem. Alicia, no problem. Lizzie, no problem. But some of the other ones are like, well, I don't know. It's like, I don't bite. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's just talking. I feel like I'm just really outgoing and talk a lot. So it's like,
well, once you get up on that podium and win the Olympics, they're going to ask you a lot of questions. So get ready to be able to talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, one last thing. What music is in your playlist? What kind of music are you playing?
Recently,
yeah.
A lot. Susie and the Banshees.
Nice.
And Beach House.
Ah. Look at you. That's like back when I was growing up, Susie and the Banshees. Nice.
Oh, so
that's
sick.
Cool. Very refreshing. Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you.
And if I appreciate you.
If you ever need anything or you're up this way, let me know too. I wanted to go out with you guys that one day, but it was raining, so I didn't think you guys were going to really skate.
Yeah, and it ended up drying up though, but it was a pretty hectic day. But yeah, bring out your camera. I've been also filming. I have this little camera, camcorder.
Nice.
I film my little YouTube videos. So.
Okay. Yeah. Is it true that when you're trying to learn a trick, somebody films you and then you go home and watch it, and that's how you learn how to do the trick?
Yeah, that helps a lot for
like
me. It does.
Seeing where you're, like what you're doing wrong and what's working. Interesting.
100%.
Okay. Well, hell yeah. Good luck with everything. I can't wait to see this part.
Much.
Yeah, yeah. Take care. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Ruby. And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to... SMFM.
Welcome back, good people. Welcome back to another episode of SMFM, where I'm going to bring you the hottest underground music from all over the globe. This episode, we have Cardiel from Mexico City. Excuse me a minute. Yo, Schmitty. What's up? No shit. Huh. Great. Keep him on. I'll send the people right over. Cool, man. Peace. How about that? Just so happens that Schmitty has Cardiel on the old screen right now. They're having a few words, so I'm going to send you all over that way. Schmitty?
Thank you very much, Shane. This is Schmitty here in San Francisco with an interview exclusive. The first time ever we've done this for SMFM, the new station here on Talkin' Schmidt Podcast. We might do a little Spanish introduction. So, buenos dias, qué onda locos? Estamos con la banda Cardiel en DF, el capital de México. Yo soy Gregorio Smith y este primero entrevisto con esta banda, pero me gusta mucho porque hay jugando con bad shit. Okay, let's check it out. Samantha and Miguel, vámonos.
Mucho gusto, Sam. How are you?
Good, mucho gusto.
Hailing from DF, but originally from Venezuela, making their first ever interview appearance on SMFM segment. This is John Cardiel without the John. Please welcome Samantha and Miguel from the band Cardiel. Hey. Welcome. How are you guys?
How are you? Thank you for having us. Stoked to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, super stoked to be here. Thank you, for the invitation, of course.
Let me hear the origin story of the band. Like, how did you guys get together, and how come you didn't name it Tony Hawk?
That's a good question. Yeah, we start jamming and doing some music and riff and beats for our friends in Venezuela. They were putting together a skate video, and they want some like original music. So we start doing some songs in Mexico City. Actually, it was 2010 when we started doing that. Oh. The video never came out. So we ended up with a bunch of songs that we were okay. These are pretty cool. We like it. Let's start a band.
Playing them live. It was like, yeah, we should, you know, give it a try. Why not?
Because it was like fast and heavy, and then dub and reggae, we were okay. Let's call it Cardiel, man.
So obviously you were skating. Did you grow up skateboarding?
Yeah, I started skateboarding around 88, 89. My older brothers, he skated too in Valencia, Venezuela. That's where I was born and raised. And the guys who bring skateboarding to that town, they were on the same street. I had all those information about skateboarding, and yeah, never let it go again.
So the first time I looked into you guys, because Jake came back after playing, I think it was the 30th anniversary in Mexico City, he came back and he was telling me about this band named Cardiel. And I'm like, holy shit, Cardiel, okay. And so I looked you guys up, and the first thing I noticed is it's a two-piece band, girl on drums and the guy on guitar. And so my question is, did you ever think about naming the band Los Rayos Blancos?
Los what?
Los Rayos Blancos, like the White Stripes.
No. The bass player was always late. I mean, Miguel's pedal board for sure.
Yeah.
That's where all the magic happens.
Are you having to double over on guitar? Or like, what are you using to make it such a full sound?
Well, first, I'm trying to make as much noise as we can on stage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been developing for a couple of years this pedal board, so I can have different frequencies, different ranges of frequencies on the same level. So I used a bass amp and a guitar amp at the same time. So that's okay. kind of the wall of sound.
Nice. And Sam, how long have you been playing drums?
Wow, for about, 25 years or something like that? Since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Since I was 12. Yeah, but it's funny, I started playing like percussions in Venezuela, especially in December for Christmas. We have these little like small groups of musicians in schools to play, you know, gaitas. It's like a kind of music traditional music that in Venezuela, you know, it's pretty common, during Christmas. So I started, playing these groups percussion, and then I was like, yeah, I mean, I would like to try, you know, and learn how to play drums. And yeah, and I insisted it so much, you know, with my dad. He was like, okay, you're just a little girl, how come do you want to, you know, start playing drums? So if I buy one to you, probably you're gonna end it up, you know, like, I don't know, like after a couple of months, it's gonna be, you know, in the garage. Oh, you know, like you're gonna forget about it. But I insisted so much that he finally, you know, bought me a drum set like after a year. So I never quit, you know, I keep playing. So that's my story. Yeah.
Who was some of your early influences? Are you mostly into bands from Mexico and Venezuela? Or are you like looking at bands from Europe and the United States too? Or who's inspiring you?
Well, yeah, I gotta say, first, it was John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. So I was listening a lot to, Led Zeppelin, the Beatles. Yeah, I gotta say, Dave Grohl. I know a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, when he was playing Nirvana, he was a beast on the drums.
What about you, Miguel? Who were you into, like, early on in your music? development? Like, who, what are you, like, listening to Banda Machos, Café Tacuba? Like, who do we got here?
All the rock and roll and all the punk rock, I got it from actually skateboard videos from, you know, 411 and all the things that, because the information, the music in Venezuela was kind of limited, and I just recorded from my VHS to my tape recorder the sound of the videos, so I got the music, and you can still hear in the skateboarding on the tape. When we got video days, you know, on the credits, Mark Gonzalez part, he says smooth jazz or something like that, you know. It was first time ever that I really paid attention to jazz, and I was like, man, okay, this is so good. It was John Contrail. My mother has a lot of vinyls and stuff like Michael Jackson, and that's what I grew up. But yeah,
okay,
punk rock. And
so do you guys have any songs about skateboarding? Is skateboarding in your music?
Yeah.
We have one called Destino Bol Secreto, which is on our latest LP called Armageddon After Party. Yeah. So yeah, that's a cool story. Miguel, go ahead.
Yeah.
You know better.
We try to do this tour called Pacific Tour in the Pacific of Mexico. So we start from Mexico City to TJ, and then all the Baja. Play in different spots, like skate spots and surf spots, and then at the end of the Baja, there is a bowl, a secret bowl that you have to know the coordinates to get there. And all the whole trip was about that, going to the secret bowl, and that's the song about, like, Destino Bol Secreto.
Oh, how cool! Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And yeah, we got a couple. Yeah. There's one called Tabla, this translated is called Deck. And we got one called 1990 Siempre, it's 1990s forever, kind of. So it's how can I translate it? No está viejo para patinar, sino está viejo porque no patina. You're not old to skate, you're just.
You're not too old to
skateboard.
Yeah, exactly.
On that secret mission to the bowl, did you guys run into Sheriff Hernandez?
No, that was before.
No, that was before.
That was before. Yeah, we were running in TJ.
And that happened to Miguel actually in TJ when he was trying to cross the border and go to Las Vegas, right? Because your brother was waiting for you in San Diego. Yeah.
I just got a European Italian passport, and then I flew to TJ to cross with a passport. I didn't know I needed an ESTA to cross, and I just got there, and they were like, "All right, what are you doing here? I'm going to meet my nephew and going to Las Vegas with my brother, and all right, come this way." And then at that moment, things getting hard and
weird,
and he was like, "All right, put your hands out, whatever." And we were like, "Oh man, we had a hard time over there." They were
searching you, right, all over.
And then I spent there like 14 hours in the border before they put me back again. But the guy, the sheriff that was doing all the stuff, was called Sheriff Hernandez. And he were like, "All right, do you want me to speak in English or you want me to speak Spanish?" And I was, "All right, I'd rather speak Spanish because it's my mother language, and I don't want to screw it up." And then he was like, "All right, yo te hablo en español." So what time is, you know, like every time he was speaking English.
So he was so switching fast back and forth, right?
And so they melt my mind. I was fried, man. I was fried. And then,
what was your favorite? I know you guys have done some pretty cool things, like you played South by Southwest, the Vans, the 50 years House of Vans in Mexico City, the 30 years of Thrasher, and then you did the Skate Rock with Bad Shit.
Yeah, Arctic.
Like, what was, like, What was like the pinnacle for you guys? Which one was like your favorite?
Skate Rock. I think the Skate Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. Was it crazy?
Yeah.
Well, first to watch all these guys skate every day, the level that, man, it was, now you know
now,
why.
And getting wasted every night, like really hard. And then the next day, like straighting so hard and ripping, you know, like every fucking spot. That was, yeah.
And then get to see, to watch Phelps and Tony and Trixie playing every night, and also Arctic,
and, yeah.
Figgy, Nooch.
Frex, right?
Yeah,
Frex too.
Man, yeah, that was a magical time. And
Sam, what do you think about Trixie on the drums?
Oh, she's great. Man. She's great. She rips. Great. She plays really fast. Plus, she's crazy, but she's an amazing person. Yeah, we love her so much. And yeah, after that, we have actually a nice friendship. So hopefully we're going to, do some shows together soon here in the U.S. That'll be awesome.
Is there a romanticness between you two, or are you just band members?
We're married.
We're married, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Somos pareja, yeah.
Did you get married during the band, or are you married before the band?
During the band.
During the band, yeah, during the band. Yeah, because we have been together since 2010 or something like that, so it's almost 14 years, kind of.
I mean, we know each other in 2000, like 2020.
Oh, since we were teenagers, like a long time ago in Venezuela. We used to play in different bands, and we kind of had a theme back then, and then, you know, it got serious in 2010, so yeah, we can say we have been together seriously for 14 years.
Que romantico! So Shane is going to play the song Tabla for the end of the show. I noticed that you have a video for it, and how did that all happen? It looks like you guys got a dog to drive the van somehow. I don't know.
He's right here.
Mi perro.
Yeah. She's out, man.
What's the dog's name?
Sheena.
Sheena
is a Conrugger. Yeah.
Oh, from the Ramones.
She was our driver, like in the video.
We did in one day that video. Our friend, or very good friend,
at our house,
Nito Escalante, OG skateboarding from Mexico. Nito, he helped us and his brother, and we just put the van in the garage and put a screen
behind, you know.
It was a one day shooting, and the next day he did all the edition, and let's go.
That was just it.
And we went bankrupt because Sheena took all the money, you know, like.
Yeah. Have you guys ever met John Cardio?
Yeah.
We met him
in Mexico City.
In Mexico on a Vans.
When was it? 2015?
He is Juan Love, DJ set. It was.
DJ Juan.
DJ Juan,
DJ Juan Love on the ones and twos.
He was there with Dustin Dolin, right?
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
okay.
So that was crazy. But we met him, and he was like, you know what, cardio? What's the meaning, right? That's what he sent me.
Yeah, he was talking about the cardio on the heart, and he was so high.
It's hard, corazón.
Energy was,
unbelievable.
He's the best.
His vibe,
Oh, man. Okay, so I got a few quick questions. Right. Do you have a favorite Bad Shit song?
All Hail Cardio. Oh, no, but you like another one, Miguel. Yeah, Hammer.
More beer, not for me. I don't drink.
I was going to say, do you have a quote that you remember, like something that you took to heart when Jake said something that you've heard, like in person? Did he say anything that you kind of hold dear as like a memory?
Oh, yeah, I have one. Can I go first, Miguel? Maybe you have another one.
Yeah.
But mine is kind of like, about the socks. He was like, I was wearing black socks. in the Guadalajara gig, and he was like, he came over like from nowhere. He was like, you know, you can look sexier with white socks.
He had all these rules, and one of the rules was no black socks.
The first time, she's gone. I think she's gone. We lose Sam. Well, I think the first time I met Jake was at the 30-year anniversary party, and he just came to us and he was and talking to me. Hey, so you got a band called Cardio? Like, he was like a mad, you know, like it was like, yes, sir. All right, we'll see you. Well, okay. Well, he was happy. He was mad at me. He was, but then after we play, he just cheered out with us and for like the blessing, you know.
Did you guys go to Punta Mita with them?
Yeah. We only played Sayulita. That was the last show. Yeah, but we went to Emilio's escape or the shorty. Hang there, and then we did the party in Guadalajara. Was one of the gnarliest. I think that it was so loud, and there was like 100 kids outside trying to get in to the show, and they were mad, and they were like starting putting fire on the doors, and they just bombed down the power supply, so everything was with no electricity, so I have to go outside, talk some of the kids, and like begging to give me back the power outlet, to put it again. Yeah, it was gnarly, man. It was one, that was one for the books for sure.
It sounded like it. I was like, damn, I wish I went on that one. Well, dude, I appreciate you guys taking the time and being a part of this thing. Like, Shane has just kind of started helping me do this like little music thing at the end, and I'm already so stoked. Like, he's super into it, and I hope it grows and stuff, and it's rad that you guys are a part of it. I really appreciate that, and like I said, when you guys come up this way, please hit me up. I'd love to meet you in person and take you out to some food and show you some spots around the city or whatever. Where can people find you? Like, you guys have a website and social media and stuff?
Yeah, we have a website. It's called cardiotheband.com. Uh-huh. And social media, yeah, we are on Instagram and Facebook, Spotify, all that. Yeah, okay. we used to have everything Cardiel, but we don't want to get confused. Actually, the first time we have a mention in Thrasher magazine was a little photograph of that 30th anniversary. And it said Cardiel, and between parentheses, the band. So we just got that name. Like, all right, this is the name, Cardiel the band.
Okay.
But yeah, but thank you so much, man. We are stoked to be here. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Really appreciate it. And yeah, for sure, let's keep on track.
We just got to keep the old man alive, you know, just keep telling the stories and make sure people know how important he was for everything, you know. So 100%. I really appreciate you guys. Tell Sam I'm sorry that her internet got cut off or whatever, but feel free to reach out anytime.
Oh, sure, man. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a podcast that matters. All right.
Hell yeah, man. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Shimon. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it. That is Cardiel the Band, and that was live from Mexico City, Mexico, only here on SMFM. Let's go back to Shane Mednich and end with the song Tabla.
Damn, Oro coffee. That's damn good coffee. There you have it. A few words from Cardiel out of Mexico City. And they were talking that Schmitty. And we are going to play for you Cardiel's video for the song Tabla. Only here on SMFM. Yes. A little more. Because that's getting a little more, because that was the first music video here on SMFM. The band Cardiel. The song Tabla. Find them on Instagram at Cardiel the Band. Get at me on Instagram at on SMFM. Alright? See that? That was two people. That's all it takes. It doesn't even take that. It takes one person. It takes you. It takes you to learn an instrument, fire it up, up the volume, make some noise with some friends. Alright? Love one another. We'll be back next time with a hot, hot, hot underground band from I don't know where yet. It could be yours.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com, where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.